Hello and welcome to Feel Good with Jo, your Friday guide to leading a happy and healthy life. And as you know, each show I interview an expert in an area of well-being for their tips on managing our often busy and stressful lives. And today I'm joined again by Patricia Cronin. And Pat and I actually did our yoga diplomas together. So Pat and I have studied together, and then Pat's gone on to study as a yoga therapist and is a qualified yoga therapist based in Englefield Green at Yoga on the Green. And it's a pleasure to have you here, Pat.
Thank you, Jo.
It's a pleasure to be here.
And what we've decided to talk about today is using yoga as a way to treat depression. And I guess one of the things, it's interesting because it's about a month or so, I think, since we actually agreed that subject matter. And since then, what I've experienced is clients in my practice facing depression a lot more. It's so funny how that works. You focus on something and then suddenly you see it around you a lot more. And one of my absolute dearest friend's father has really tipped into quite a severe depression. So for me, it's very topical at the moment, and I'm really looking forward to talking about what you can do practically. But the first thing I wanted to raise is, why might somebody look to yoga as a way to work with depression? Because it won't be the first thing that most people think of.
No, but yoga is, first of all, it's very tried and tested. And in the West, we tend to think of yoga as just being physical exercises. But of course, it's much more. It includes working with the breath, working with your energy, and mindfulness and meditation. And you're probably aware that mindfulness is now offered as a treatment by NHS and private psychiatric clinics for depression, because it's incredibly powerful. And the great thing about yoga is it treats the person holistically. So it looks at, well, how is the depression manifesting this person's body? Are they lethargic? Are they tired? Are they lacking the energy to get out of bed in the morning? Or perhaps they're much more manic, much more excitable, heart racing, can't calm the mind down, can't sleep. Or it might simply manifest as just a dissatisfaction with their everyday life. When they look around and use logic, everything seems fine, but they're just not happy. And the great thing about yoga is you can adapt, picking from the practices that are on offer, and make a really personalised treatment for that person, changing it as their symptoms progress or lessen.
Actually, I think that last point is really important, which is it's not static.
No.
You know, so our conditions and our experiences change, and we can have this whole toolbox of different ways that we work, and yoga provides a lot more. I mean, you've already said it's not just physical exercise, but tell us a little bit more about what it is, you know, and how you would work with somebody who's suffering that sort of lethargic, and they,
yes,
you know, they don't want to wash and they don't want to eat and they pretty much just want to stay in bed for the whole day.
Yeah, I think it's, I would take a sort of double-pronged approach. So there is something about, I think when you don't want to be awake, you don't want to be in your body, you're basically avoiding life by bringing your body to a stop. So I think getting some life back into the body with some gentle but thorough stretching, using the breath, so that actually it really feels good. Feels really good to loosen the shoulders, feels really good to move the hips. Nothing too challenging, something that's simple, not technical. People think about yoga as having to twist yourself into funny positions. Nothing like that at all. Quite straightforward, so that people begin to think, actually, do you know, I do quite enjoy moving. But I would also add in some practices for the mind. So perhaps some visualization or some deep relaxation. For example, it might be something as simple as just taking yourself in your imagination to a place where you've been really happy and comfortable and imagining yourself there while you relax. And once those symptoms begin to shift, then it's possible to look at, for example, using mindfulness or meditation to start changing the way you think about the world. So an example of that would be emphasising the positive. And most of us just don't do that. If somebody pays us a compliment, we brush it away. or we have something nice happen to us. Oh, well, that's all well and good, but tomorrow I've got to go back to work and I'm not happy there. And we don't take any pleasure in the good things. If we can retrain ourselves to notice all of the good things, and it does take a bit of retraining, we begin to realise that actually a large part of our life isn't just bearable, it's actually enjoyable. But we're spoiling it by allowing our minds to drag us to worries about the future or our fears about our past. And if we can begin to work on that, most people find as soon as they can see an improvement, they feel like they're taking control of their recovery. And I think that gives them confidence that they will recover. And that, for me, is the magic ingredient.
I think that's important, actually, because that's certainly what I've seen when I've been working with people with depression. Actually, more in my Reiki practice than in my yoga practice, but this tipping point when the person starts to see that, yes, they may still be working with the depression, but they're actually have some control over their recovery from it. And that's quite an important point, is getting out of the feeling powerless and feeling victimized by it, or feeling a victim of it.
Yes.
And starting to feel like an active player in life again. The word that stuck out the most in what you were talking about was pleasure, you know, and experiencing pleasure in the body. And I think that is important, because through pleasure and through the sensory experience of the body, we can root ourselves in the present moment. Yes. And we can realize that right now, actually, rarely are things as difficult as we've built them up to be in our minds, as we feared them to be. Right now, this is just it. This is what's happening.
Yes.
And that tends to be much easier to deal with than we anticipate.
I absolutely agree. And part of the challenge in the modern world, of course, is we're not encouraged to be in the now. We're tempted by phone applications, and all of the technology that we have is constantly inviting us to be somewhere else, focusing on the outside world, using Facebook, using Twitter. Nothing wrong with those things, but we don't allow ourselves any time for stillness, and we get lost. And I think often the frightening thing for people who become depressed is, some people, of course, know where it came from, but sometimes it just descends and there's not been any warning that anything's wrong. And I think that can be very debilitating, and it can make you feel powerless. The important thing for me about using techniques such as mindfulness alongside whatever other treatment you've been prescribed by your GP or whoever is that it is something you do for yourself. And having learnt to do it, whether it's practicing being in the present moment, whether it's practicing working with gratitude, whether it's practicing dwelling on the positive, the things you're doing for yourself. And once you've learnt to do them, even if you slip back into your old ways, and most of us are apt to do that, you can still call on them when you need them. And that, for me, is the point at which you see a turning.
And I think that's part of the yoga way of being, really, is beginning to take more responsibility and being accountable for your health and your well-being in
Absolutely.
General. Much, much wider than, oh, I've got a problem, and or I want to be physically fit.
Yes.
It's much more a way of being.
Yes.
So I think that's important. I wanted to come back to this idea of not knowing where the depression may have come from, you know, this feeling of a cloud just descending on your head and suddenly you're filled with gloom and you can't shake it. One of the things I've found most useful for that is actually mustard bark flower remedy, because it's quite specifically for that condition. And with the mustard flower essence, or just with your mind, opening yourself up to, well, what did I perhaps hear recently on the radio or read in a book or overheard somebody on a train saying, which has actually triggered something inside me that, as I reflect on it, I can actually come to understand this is what this is about, because then I've got a stronger opportunity to actually clear it up rather than just ride it out, have it sink in back into the unconscious and have to come up again later.
Yes, no, I agree with that. Although I have to say, you can also, I think, feel that through your body. And I think if you become more familiar with your body, and most of us zone out from our body in the modern world, then what happens is when you get those, we talk about words stuck in our throat, or, oh, my heart missed a beat, all of these, or, you know, somebody was a pain in the neck. If you're familiar with working with your body through yoga, when something happens and it registers in your body, and it normally does, but we miss it, then actually you're aware of it at the moment it happens.
Yes.
And that can be very useful, because then you can register, well, that's upset me.
Mm. Yes.
Is there anything I can do about it? Take whatever appropriate action, but not let it get stuck in your body. And if it doesn't get stuck in your body, then it probably won't get stuck in your mind. So I think that the movement side of yoga really teaches you to tune in to those subtle energies, and not to become self-focused, but to become self-aware. And I think in life that's just incredibly powerful.
And absolutely. I mean, it's how I know when I've got something that I need to say and I haven't said it. It's because my jaw seizes up. It's very direct. And it happens and I'm going, ow, my jaw hurts. Okay, what is it I need to say?
Yeah.
So I do think that's very, very helpful. And the language of the body is not the same for each person, because some people... you know, some people will feel things in their stomach, some people
Absolutely.
Will feel it in their chest, and it'll be different. Well, it's been really good to have this short conversation with you about depression. Now, how would people find out more if they would like to know more?
They're very welcome to contact me, and I can direct them to classes, books, or other information on the website. On the web. My website is www.yogaonthegreen.co.uk. There's quite a lot. If you just Google yoga with depression, you'll get a plethora of information, because there's been so much research on it in recent years. But really happy to talk to anybody that would like some guidance or some help.
Oh, brilliant. Well, thanks so much. So that was Patricia Cronin of Yoga on the Green, and she's a local lass, so do get in touch. Thanks, Pat. And join me again in 2 weeks' time for Feel Good with Joe with Michelle Finnegan, a osteopath. Radio.